السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، رب زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا، اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما، آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to do ayat 152 to 158 of Surah An-Nisa today. We'll begin with the word meanings of these ayat, starting with ayah number 152, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Walladhina wa and alladhina, those who amanu, they believed. This comes from the word iman, which means to believe or have faith. And amanu is a verb and it ends in vowelif. So we know this is plural. So amanu means they believed. Billahi, be in Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa and rusulihi. Rusul is plural for the word rasul. So rusul means messengers. He, his, wa, and lam, did not, yufarriku, faraqa is the root word and that means to differentiate. Ya in the beginning of this word tells us it's in the third person and wawalif in the end tells us this is plural. So yufarriku, they differentiate or they discriminate, baina, between, ahadin, anyone, minhum, min, from whom, them. Ulaika, those, sofa, soon, will. Yu'tihim, ata is the root word and that means to give. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. So yu'ti, he gives, him, them. Ujurahum, ujur is plural for the word ajr. Ajr, ajr means a reward. So ujur rewards whom, theirs. Wa and kana, he is Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ghafuran. This is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ghafuran means all forgiving. And the next one is also an attribute and it means and it is rahima. One always all merciful. This comes from the word rahma, which means mercy. So rahima, always all merciful. Yas'aluka, yas'alu, ask, ka, you, ahlu, people, al-kitabi, of the book, an, that, tunazzil, nazala means to reveal, to gradually send down, ta in the beginning means you, so tunazzila, you gradually send down or you reveal alayhim, alay, upon him, them, kitaban, a book, min, from, as-samai, the sky, faqad, fa, so, qad, in fact, sa'alu, they asked. Sa'ala means to ask and this ends in vawalif. So we know this is plural. So sa'alu, they asked Musa, Musa alayhi salam, akbara. This comes from the word kabir, which means big or great. Alif in the beginning just adds more emphasis on this word. So akbara, greater, min, than, thalika, that. Faqalu, fa, so, qalu, they said, arina, show us. Ara means to show. So, na at the end means us. This is a command. So Arina, show us Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jahratan, openly. فَأَخَذَتْهُمْ فَا, so, and then خُز is the root word, and that means to take or seize. أَخَذَتْ, the ta at the end refers to the word that's coming up next, and that is صَائِقَ. Okay, so it means it. So فَأَخَذَتْ, so it seized هُمْ, them, الصَّائِقَةُ, the thunderbolt. بِظُلْمِهِمْ, be because of ظُلْم, injustice or wrongdoing. Him, theirs. ثُمَّ, then, اتَّخَذُوا, they took or they made. And we know this is plural because it ends in wawalif. الْعِجِلَ, the calf. مِنْ بَعْدِ, مِنْ, from بَعْدِ, after. مَا, that, جَاءَتْهُمْ. Ja'a means to come. So ja'at, it came, or they came, hum, to them, al-bayyinat, the clear proofs. Fa'afona, fa, then, afo, pardoned, na, we, un, from, dhalika, that. Wa, and, atayna. Ata means to give. So, ate, gave, na, we, Musa. Musa alayhi salam, sultanan, an authority, mubina, one clear. Wa, and, rafa'na. Rafa means to raise. So, rafa, raised, na, we, fawqahum. Fawqa, above, hum, them, atu. Al means that, and tur means mount tur. B, because of mithaqi, covenant or binding oath. Him, theirs. Wa, and kulna, kul, said, na, we. So kulna, we said, lahum, la, to hum, them. Udkhulu, you all enter. Dakhala is the root word, and that means to enter. And this word ends in waw alif. It begins with the silent alif. So this is a command. So idkhulu, you all enter. Al-baba, al, the, baba, door. Sujadan, prostrating, doing sajda. Wa, and kulna, we said, lahum, la to hum, them, la, do not. Ta'adu, you all exceed, or you all transgress, cross the limits. Fi, in, as-sabti, the Sabbath, meaning the Saturday, the day they were supposed to skip working. Wa, and, akhadna, akhadh, took, na, we, minhum, min, from, hum, them, mithaqan, a covenant or a binding oath, waliza, firm or strong. Fa bima, fa, so, bima, be, because of, ma, that, naqadihim, naqadi, breaking, him, theirs, mithaqahum, mithaq, covenant or binding oath, hum, theirs, wa, and kufrihim, kufr, disbelieving or denying, him, theirs, be, with ayati, the verses or the signs, Allahi, of Allah, wa, and qatlihim, qatli, killing, him, theirs, al-anbiya'a, this is plural for the word nabi, which means a prophet. So anbiya means prophets. Al-anbiya, the prophets. Bi ghayri, without. Bi means with, and ghayr means out. So bi ghayri, without. Haqqin, any right, any legal right or truth. Wa, and qawlihim, qawl, saying, him, theirs. Qulubuna, qulub, plural for the word قلب, which means heart. قلوب means hearts, na, ours. غلف are covered or wrapped. بل, rather. طبع, he stamped or he sealed. الله, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عليه, upon. Ha, it, meaning the heart or them. B, because of kufri, disbelieving or denying him, theirs. Fala, fa, so, la, do not. Yu'minuna, this comes from iman, which means to believe. Ya tells us this word is in the third person. Una ending makes this word plural, so it means they believe. Illa, except. Qalila, very little or few. Wa, and. Bi kufrihim, bi, because of. Kufr, disbelieving or denying the truth. Him, theirs. Wa, and. Qawli, saying. Him, their. Ala, against. Maryama, Maryam alayhi assalam. Buhtanan, a slander or a false accusation. Alima, one great. Wa, and. Qawli, saying. Him, theirs. Inna, inna, indeed. And then the noon alif in the end, meaning we. This is a compound word. That's why there's a shadda on the noon, because it's supposed to be read twice. So inna, indeed, and noon alif, that pronoun in the end means we. Inna, indeed, we. Qatalna. Qatal, killed. Na, we. Al-Masiha. Al means the Masiha, Messiah. Isa. Isa alayhi salam, or Jesus. Ibna, son. Maryama, of Maryam alayhi salam, or Mary. Rasula, messenger. Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa, and. Ma, not. Qataluhu. Qatalu, this is plural, we know, because it ends in waw. Qatalu, they killed. Who? Him. Meaning Isa alayhi salam. Wa, and. Ma, nor. Salabuhu. Salabu, they crucified. Who? Him. What? Wa, and. Lakin, but. Shubbiha, it was made doubtful. It was made dubious. Lahum, la, for whom, them. Wa, and. Inna, indeed. Alladhina, those who. Ikhtalafu, they differed. We know this is also plural because it ends in waw alif. So they differed or disputed with each other. Fi, in, he, it. La, fi, la, surely. Fi, in, shakin, doubt. Minhu, min, in or concerning. Who, it. Ma, na, la, hum, la, for hum, them. Bihi, be, with or of. He, it. Min, from. Ilmin, any knowledge. Illa, except. Ittiba'a, following. Adhan, the assumptions, conjecture. Wa, and. Ma, did not. Qataluhu, qatalu, they killed. Who, him. Yaqinan, certainly, or with conviction, definitely. Bal, rather. Rafa'a, he raised. Who? Him. So Rafa'a is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised. Who? Him, meaning Isa alayhi salam. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that Allah is the one doing something, because the word Allah ends in a dhamma, right? So Allah is the one who rafa'a. So rafa'ahu Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him, meaning Isa alayhi salam. Ilay, towards. He, him, meaning himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa, and. Kana, he is. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Azizan. This is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it means one always almighty. Hakiman, another attribute, and it means one always all wise. This word comes from hikmah, which means wisdom. So hakiman means the one that is all wise. Alhamdulillah. That's it for the word meanings. And now we'll begin the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Last class, we were learning about how the end will be for those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messengers. And we learned that there will be a humiliating punishment for them due to them rejecting any one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messengers. So anyone who rejects any one of them will have to go through a humiliating punishment. And we know that it's going to be eternal. Okay, so it's going to last. It will never end. Now, the ayah we're starting off with today tells us about people who do believe in the messengers of Allah. We know that any time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the hellfire in the Quran, He mentions Jannah right afterwards. Similarly, now that He just mentioned the people who reject the messengers of Allah, we just finished learning about them. He tells us about people who are exactly the opposite in the next ayah. They are the people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messengers. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. And as for those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messengers, وَلَمْ يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ, and they do not discriminate between any of them. They don't discriminate between any of the messengers, nor do they only believe in Allah and disbelieve in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They don't do any of these things. They believe in all the messengers. We know about some of the Rasuls, but not all. There are only 25 Rasuls mentioned in the Quran. 25. But there were about 124,000 messengers sent in all. Okay? So even though there were 124,000 that were sent in all, only 25 of those messengers are mentioned in the Quran. And even though we don't know about them, as Muslims, we believe in all of them. أُولَٰئِكَ سَوْفَ يُؤْتِيهِمْ أُجُورَهُمْ. We shall soon give them their due rewards. Now, let's try and understand what belief in the messenger actually means, because it's so important. And it doesn't just mean to say that I believe in the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's more to it than that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in another part of the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And we have sent the messengers to be obeyed. Okay, we haven't sent them for any other reason but to be obeyed by the permission of Allah. So that is what it means to believe in the messengers. It means to follow their example. We have to obey them. And if we don't follow their example, but we claim to believe in them, we're not doing what Allah ordered us to do. The messengers were sent so that we can learn from their lives, so we can follow in their footsteps. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best example for us, the best role model. So we have to learn about his seerah. We have to study his seerah because that's his way of life. And it's after we learn about the things he did in life, his seerah, can we copy it? He should be the one we idealize and follow in all aspects of life. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving, all merciful. After people believe in Allah and the messengers, without differentiating between the messengers. This part proves that the believers, those who believe in Allah and the messengers and don't differentiate between the messengers, those people will make mistakes too. They mess up after they believe. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them and has mercy on them. And these are the two attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned at the end of the ayah, because they're related to what we learned here. We need Him to be forgiving and merciful towards us after we make mistakes. And we are believers, but we make mistakes. So we need Him to have mercy on us, to forgive us. And whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes are mentioned at the end of any ayah, they are connected to what that ayah is talking about. So they're always somehow related to something that was mentioned in the ayah. The Asma'ul Husna, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His attributes, the best names of Allah, highlight the important parts of the ayat when they come at the end of those ayat. They're not just mentioned randomly, they serve a purpose. From the next ayah till the second last ayah of this surah, a new topic is being covered. So from ayat 153 to 175, we will learn a few things about the Ahli Kitab, the people of the book, and that is the Jews and the Christians. So out of those ayat, 153 to 175, ayat 153 to 169 are specifically about the Jews, and ayat 170 to 175 will be about the Christians, about their beliefs. يَسْأَلُكَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ. They ask you, meaning Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Jews asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam something, and we know it's the Jews because they were the ones who asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam this. Ka'b bin Ashraf said this when he went with a delegation to see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Jews often visited Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to question him about things, to kind of object to his message, the message that he was trying to convey to people. And he said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Antunazil alayhim kitabam minasama," to bring down for them a book from heaven. By the book, it means that they asked for a written book like Musa alayhi salam was given before, when he was given the Torah in the form of tablets. So they asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to bring the Quran to them in the form of tablets, so they could actually see it, and they said that then they would believe that it was revealed by Allah. They were basically saying that they didn't believe that the Quran was revealed by Allah to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were objecting to him being the messenger. They also asked for a letter from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling them to believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said if that happened, they would believe him if he showed them a letter from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, they didn't just do this once. they constantly said such things to hurt Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The disbelievers used to ask him to perform miracles. They challenged him to bring about the Day of Judgment that he talked about. And they asked him when it would happen. So they would say to him, you keep talking about this Day of Judgment. So when is it going to happen? Make it happen. Astaghfirullah. Whenever they said such things to him, they did it to tease him. They weren't asking because they actually intended to believe in him. Instead, they just said these things to hurt him. They made it look like, they made it seem like they would have believed if he had brought the miracles that they asked for, since they were the Ahle Kitab, the people of the book. They had received the book before. They acted like it was a reasonable expectation when they asked him to show them the book being revealed before their eyes, or to be sent in the form of tablets. Obviously, this was not easy to deal with. It was painful for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he really wanted them to believe. So it used to upset him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforts the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by reminding him what they had done before. After all the things they had done before that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, they should have been too embarrassed to ask Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show them these things. So Allah mentions the crimes they had committed earlier, now that they were demanding such things. فَقَدْ سَأَلُوا مُوسَىٰ أَكْبَرَ مِنْ ذَٰلِكَ. So in fact, they demanded an even harder miracle than that from Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam had shown them the tablets with Allah's words on them, but they asked Musa alayhi salam for something much greater. They said to him, O Musa, you say that your Lord speaks to you. Show us how that happens. Musa alayhi salam couldn't take all of them to show them, but he took a group of their 70 great respected leaders to Mount Tur. They saw Musa alayhi salam speaking to Allah, but they asked for something even greater. They asked to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَالُوا, they said, أَرِنَ اللَّهَ جِهْرَةً, make us see Allah with our own eyes, and then we'll believe. Astaghfirullah. That's how rude they were. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that they shouldn't dare to ask you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to show them the book being revealed in front of them now. They didn't accept even when the tablets were shown to them earlier in Musa alayhi salam's time. فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ بِظُلْمِهِمْ. As a result of their wickedness, the thunderbolt overtook them. Now, what was the ظُلْم, the injustice they did? It wasn't that they didn't believe in Allah. They did believe in Allah, but they were just so disrespectful, and they doubted that the messenger, Musa alayhi salam, was sent by him. That was the injustice they did when they asked to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala openly. But remember, Musa alayhi salam had also asked to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before? He really wanted to see Allah too, but no thunderbolt struck him. So why did a thunderbolt strike these people when they asked? That's because when Musa alayhi salam asked to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was because he really wished to see Allah. But the 70 men that he took to Mount Tur, they asked to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they just wanted to challenge Musa alayhi salam, when they said that they would believe only if he showed them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was more of a challenge than to want to see him. So it's not that they said something wrong. It's not what they said that was wrong. Okay? Instead, their intentions were not right when they said that. They weren't asking because they really wanted to see Allah. Now, this is a rule we should remember too, that two people may be saying the same thing. Two different people are saying the exact same thing, but they have different intentions. And one may be sincere, while the other is evil. So their result is different. And that was the difference between them and Musa alayhis-salam when asking to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes things people say can bring about calamities, disasters. They don't necessarily have to do something to deserve that punishment. The men who had gone with Musa alayhis-salam were struck by a thunderbolt because of what they said. They didn't do anything wrong. Okay, it was what they said that was wrong. There's a great lesson for us in all this, because the words we say do matter. We have to be careful with what we're saying, and our intentions really matter. Okay, because even though they pretended that they were just asking to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their intentions were basically to challenge Musa alayhis-salam because they knew it wouldn't happen. Okay, so we have to be careful when we're planning to say something, and we have to make sure our intentions are sincere. So when they were struck by a thunderbolt, this was a very difficult thing for Musa alayhis-salam. He couldn't go back to his people and tell everyone that the 70 people, the best people among them that he took with him, had died. They would blame him for it, even though it happened as a result of their own wrongdoing. Because messengers had the great responsibility of trying to keep everyone on the right path. That was their mission in life. They didn't ever want their people to turn away from Deen. So he was afraid of what would happen if he went and told them that all 70 of those men had died. But of course, the messengers had to make sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also happy with their actions. They couldn't say or do anything just to please their people if it meant that they would upset Allah. So the situation was a great test for Musa alayhis-salam. It was difficult. He couldn't go back without them, but he also didn't want to upset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by trying to protect criminals. He started to make dua to Allah at that point, and he said, "Oh Allah, don't punish everyone because of the wrongdoing of some foolish people. Oh Allah, bring them back to life." And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them back to life because of Musa alayhis-salam's dua. Even though this isn't normally done, it doesn't happen. ثُمَّ اتَّخَذُوا الْعِجْلَ مِن بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. Then they took the calf for worship after receiving clear revelations. They had seen clear signs from Allah. We already learned that a path was made in the sea for them to cross when it was split, so they could escape from Fir'aun and his men. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a path for them in the ocean. They had seen Fir'aun drown. They had seen the Mun and the Salwa. These were great miracles, but they had still dared to make a calf of gold to start worshiping. Now, if we think about ourselves, don't we see signs from Allah around us? We do, right? We see natural disasters happen. We see viruses spread that kill so many people. But we still don't reform our ways. We don't bother to stop and think that those things can happen to us too. We act like the polytheists of Mecca did, when they used to say that times change. Sometimes things are good, and sometimes they're bad. So it's just normal. It's no big deal. They didn't think it had anything to do with their actions. So the people of Musa alayhis salam had seen clear signs, but they still started to worship the calf. That was a great sin. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَعَفَوْنَا عَنْ ذَٰلِكَ. After all that, we still pardoned them. They should have been wiped out after what they did because they committed shirk. And they did it after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed so many favors on them. So that was even worse. But he still forgave them. وَآتَيْنَا مُوسَى سُلْطَانًا مُبِينًا. And we gave to Musa alayhis salam clear authority. And this can mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa alayhis salam clear proofs so he would be strong and he would be able to prove his point. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa alayhis salam authority and clear proofs. Whatever he said was the truth, but they were still disobedient. وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَهُمُ الطُّورَ. Then we lifted the Mount of Tur over them, meaning over the Jews. Now, these Jews were not the same group of people who had been around at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to them as if they belong to the group of the Jews who were around at Musa alayhis salam's times? It's because the Jews of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time endorsed whatever their elders had done. They thought their forefathers were right in doing whatever they had done. They didn't think they had done anything wrong. Instead, they were actually proud of what had happened. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala includes them in that group too, even though Mount Tur was lifted over the Jewish people of Musa alayhi salam's time, not those of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's times. Bimithaqihim, because of their covenant, their binding oath. Now, what was the mithaq that was taken from them? It said that they would obey the Torah, the Sharia, or the religious laws it gave. But they refused. They didn't want to obey the covenant they had taken. They didn't want to obey the Torah. They didn't want to follow it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised above them Mount Tur. Then they feared for their lives, so they listened. They fell to the ground and they kept looking up at the mountain, thinking that it's going to fall on them, saying, "We obey, we obey." That's when they agreed to obey the commandment because they were just so stubborn. So they were basically kind of forced to listen at that point, even though it was for their own benefit. They didn't understand that. We read all the details of this, of what had happened. We can read about it in Surah Al-Baqarah. And we did cover this already in class. Alhamdulillah. Now we are just going over their story in short. وَقُلْنَا لَهُ مُدْخُلُ الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا. And on another occasion, we commanded them to enter the gates prostrating in humility. This was after they had conquered the city with the help of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had instructed them to be humble when they entered the city. Sujadan here doesn't exactly mean to be doing sajda, okay? But it means that they should have been prostrating a little in humility, just to show gratefulness to Allah and to be humble. Instead of doing that, they mocked Allah's orders and started to roll around on the ground when they entered the city. وَقُلْنَا لَهُمْ لَا تَعْدُوا فِي السَّبْتِ. Yet on another occasion, we commanded them not to transgress in the matter of Sabbath. They were ordered not to do business on Saturday, but they violated this rule. They were fishermen. So instead of skipping that day as they were supposed to, as they were instructed to do, they started fishing on Saturday too. They thought that it was just too hard to skip that one day because they would miss, they would miss catching so many fish. So they came up with excuses to fish on Saturday. They always presented excuses to do what they want. They were told not to transgress, not to exceed the limits, but they did, even though that was the only day that they were not supposed to work. And the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually listed their crimes here was so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't be hurt when they asked for the book to be revealed right before them. He reminded Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they had done this many times before too. Even after seeing clear proofs or miracles, they had disobeyed in all the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lists here. فَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. And we took a solemn commitment from them. This is a covenant they took when Mount Zur was raised above them. Mount Zur was actually uprooted from the ground and raised above their heads to frighten them. And then they were ordered to follow all the rules that were given to them. This happened because they were just so stubborn and they kept disobeying over and over again. But they broke that oath even after that. فَبِمَا نَقْدِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ. Then after all this, they still broke their covenant. We learned in Surah Al-Baqarah already that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them. And up ahead we'll learn that their hearts were sealed. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us why this happened. This was because they broke their promises, their covenant with Allah. وَكُفْرِهِمْ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. And they rejected the revelations of Allah, the ayat. They didn't say straight out that they disbelieved, but they did not follow what the ayat told them to do. So they basically rejected them. Because if they had actually believed, they would have done what the ayat ordered them to do. So when we say that we believe, it isn't just about believing that, oh, okay, I accept what I'm hearing, I believe it. It's not about that. At times it is when people say write out that they disbelieve, okay? Because that matters, of course. But usually, when people disobey and it shows in their actions, that's also a form of disbelief. Okay, so to prove that we believe, not only do we have to say it, we have to show it through our actions. We have to prove it. Now, we should think about the promise we have made with Allah. Okay, what was the promise we made with Allah? Because we're talking about the mithaq. That promise is the shahada that we've taken. That's a mithaq too. And it's so important because Muslims will be admitted to Jannah as a result of that mithaq that we have taken because of that shahada that we've read. But if we just say the shahada without trying to fulfill the requirements that come with it, that's not okay. Our actions should be according to this declaration that Allah is the only ilah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger. This means that we must follow the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because that's a part of worship. The way we live our lives should be according to his instructions. And we should follow the sunnah of our beloved Prophet ﷺ because he was sent by Allah to guide us. He was the role model that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent for us. When we say La ilaha illallah, we should know what a great thing we are saying. We shouldn't take other ilahs after that. If we follow others that go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rules, we are basically taking them as ilah as well. Astaghfirullah. Even if it's our own nafs. And according to Allah, breaking a promise is a big sin. Even when we promise other people anything and we break it, it's a great sin. So imagine breaking the promise with Allah, the promise that we've made to Him. How serious is that? وَقَتْلِهِمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. And they killed the prophets unjustly. The prophets never harmed them in any way. They didn't do anything to them. But they killed the prophets just because the prophets tried to guide them. They tried to make them stop disobeying and doing bad things. But they were so disobedient that they killed the prophets just so there would be nobody around to admonish them. Nowadays, people do similar things when they get rid of the ulama. Because the ulama, the scholars, are the successors of the prophet. When the ulama, the scholars, state the truth, people try to get rid of them, just so they wouldn't be around to try to guide them. Okay, and they don't want to be exposed when the ulama say that they're doing sinful things. They just don't want the ulama around. And at times, they are even threatened, imprisoned, or killed by people. Astaghfirullah. Imagine if there had been prophets around now. Because as we learned, ulama are successors of the prophets. So imagine if the prophets were around. This ummah would have done similar things to what the Jews used to do in the former times. Astaghfirullah. وَقَوْلِهِمْ قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. And they said, our hearts are in secure wrapping. By this, they meant that they had taken care of their hearts by wrapping them in a secure cover which had preserved Allah's words, and they didn't need to hear anymore. They acted like they were already guided enough, that they didn't need any more. Their hearts are well protected, so they didn't need to hear more. They thought it was other people who needed to be guided. And this happens even today when people are invited to study the Quran. They say that they know enough already. They know everything. So they don't need to learn anymore. They think that they don't need the Quran because they know the basics already about praying and fasting and the obligatory acts of worship. Because they believe that the Quran teaches people these ways of worship. They don't understand that we need to be connected to it because it is the word of Allah. And it guides us on everything in life. And we need it as a constant reminder. So today, the Muslims also kind of say, قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ, that our hearts are already protected because we're guided and on the right path already. That's what a lot of Muslims believe. But we should know that this was what the Jews used to do. Whenever someone tried to guide them, they used to say that they didn't need it. بَلْ طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهَا. Rather, it is Allah who has sealed their hearts. Now, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do that to anyone? We know Allah is not at all unjust. Right? So why would He do that? بِكُفْرِهِمْ. Because of their disbelief. Because they defiantly disobeyed. They were stubborn. instead of believing when the truth came to them, they denied. When people are stubborn and they don't believe even after the truth is clear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets a seal on their hearts. Then their hearts are stamped. Our hearts have a limited capability to believe. If that capability is taken away, the heart cannot obtain guidance. And the heart is the center of guidance. It's the center of hidayah. So if there's a problem with the heart, that person cannot be guided. According to hadith, a black dot is placed on the heart every time a person sins. We can't see it, so we don't realize it's happening. But imagine a black dot that appears on the heart every time we sin. And think of it this way: if a black dot appears on our face, don't we become so conscious of it and we try and wipe it off so it doesn't look bad? But we should be even more careful when it comes to our hearts. If we sincerely repent after we sin, that black dot is removed. But if we commit another sin without seeking forgiveness, another black dot is placed on the heart. And if we keep sinning without repenting, more and more black dots keep showing up on the heart every time we sin, until the whole heart eventually becomes blackened due to sins. The entire heart, it's all covered by sins, by black dots. Many times, people procrastinate, okay, and they keep saying that they will repent when they get old. They think it's fine to do that. They want to enjoy themselves in the meantime while they're so young. But imagine if their heart turns all black and ugly because of their sins. Or what if they never even get a chance to repent in life, if death comes before that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at our hearts, so we have to make sure that they don't turn black. Because once they turn fully black, due to all the black dots put on them because of our sins, we cannot obtain guidance. They are stamped, they're sealed. We cannot present those ugly hearts before Allah on the Day of Judgment. فَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So they have no faith except a little. Very few of them accept Islam. Now, this is talking about the Jews, okay? Because their hearts have been stamped. So very few of them accept Islam. And this is exactly what happened with the Jews. A very small number of Jews accepted Islam at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Roughly about 10 or 15 total. Probably up to 10 only. There were many Christians who accepted Islam at that time, but a very small number of Jewish people who accepted. Another meaning of qalila is that they believed very little, only a little bit. This means that they only believed in their prophet, not the others. Wabikufrihim, they went in their disbelief to such an extent. وَقَوْلِهِمْ عَلَى مَرْيَمَ بُهْتَانًا عَظِيمًا. And they uttered terrible slander against Maryam alayha salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them because of their disbelief in the ayat of Allah and their saying against Maryam alayha salam a grave, serious charge. They rejected the miracles even after witnessing them. And they accused, falsely accused Maryam alayhi salam for having an illegitimate child. Astaghfirullah. This is what they said about the birth of Isa alayhi salam, that he was born as a result of zina. Na'udhu billah. And this is why the Christians and the Jews have never gotten along before. until recently. Because the Jews said this about the prophet that the Christians believed in. So they never got along or liked each other. And the Jews saying this was one of the reasons they were cursed by Allah. And we know that being cursed by Allah means that they were removed from the mercy of Allah. وَقَوْلِهِمْ And they're saying, before we go on, know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started off by telling us what they said, right? We've been learning about things they said. And now at the end, again, we're learning about something they said. So it's the things they said that led to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sealing their hearts and cursing them. Them accusing Maryam alayhi as-salam was something they only said. They didn't hit anyone or kill anyone, but they slandered her. And this may have been even worse than killing. So sometimes people say things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really hates. And that's what leads to them being left in disbelief. They're left wandering in disbelief. We should be extremely careful that we don't ever end up saying anything that Allah does not approve of. Because it has serious consequences. So the Jews even said, Inna qatalna al-Masiha Isa ibn Maryam. Indeed, we have killed the Messiah, Isa, son of Maryam. Whenever we read about Isa alayhi salam in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his mother's name, Maryam. It says, Isa ibn Maryam. Isa, son of Maryam. And this is to make it clear that he did not have a father. He was born without a father. Otherwise, the father's name is mentioned right after the child's. Rasulullah. And the Rasul, Rasulullah, the Rasul of Allah. This part is not what the Jews said. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us. Because, the Jews didn't even believe that Isa alayhi salam was the messenger of Allah. They were basically being so disrespectful that they proudly said that they killed Isa alayhi salam. Okay, they were so disrespectful. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Isa alayhi salam was the Rasul of Allah. Whenever any nation tried to plot to kill the Rasuls of Allah, the messengers, they went through serious punishment as a result. So them being proud of what they thought they had done was even worse. The Jews tried to plot to kill Isa alayhi salam, and they haven't suffered very serious punishment yet. But they will go through punishment when Isa alayhi salam is sent down to this world again. Him coming to this world, being born, his birth was a trial for them because they ended up slandering his mother when he was born. And Isa alayhi salam's leaving this world was also a trial for them because they said that they killed him. They were unjust for both of those things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ Whereas in fact, neither did they kill him, وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ Nor did they crucify him. The Christians thought that Isa alayhi salam was crucified. Some of them believe that he was crucified, he fainted, and then he woke up again. Others say that he passed away and he was buried, but he got up from his grave. These are all false beliefs. Because Isa alayhi salam was never crucified. He is always depicted as being crucified in the statues they make of him. Right? He's always on a cross. But Muslims believe that he was never crucified. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects his messengers so they could not be killed. Some of the prophets were killed. Prophets. Okay? But Rasuls were never killed. That was impossible. Because it was impossible for people to kill Rasuls, no matter how hard they tried, how much they plotted, it didn't matter. They could not kill the Rasuls because Allah protected them. وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ But they thought they did because the matter was made dubious for them. This whole matter became doubtful, so they couldn't be sure if he was killed or not. None of them was sure about this. Secondly, this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made someone who was not Isa alayhi salam resemble him. He made someone else look like Isa alayhi salam. So Isa alayhi salam was not killed or crucified. There are many narrations about this. We'll go over a few now, inshallah. One narration says, the Jews went to the king of Damascus, who used to worship the stars. They went to him and they started crying for help. And they said that Isa alayhi salam was leading people astray, spreading mischief, not allowing them to live peacefully. They said that he was plotting to rebel against him. And that was a big threat to the king because they never want people to rebel against them. So he sent a letter to his governor, who was in Beit al-Maqdis. He told the governor to arrest Isa alayhi salam and crucify him, and to put a crown on his head made of thorns to help people get rid of the evil he was spreading. So he wanted that governor to do away with Isa alayhi salam. So the king of Damascus sent that governor a message. That governor read the king's order, and he took a group of Jews to the house where Isa alayhi salam was. They surrounded the house on a Friday after Asr prayer. There were about 12 to 13 people inside with Isa alayhi salam at that time, either 12 or 13. The governor and his men stayed around the house until Saturday night. When Isa alayhi salam sensed that they would enter the house and arrest him, or that he would have to leave the house, he asked his disciples, "Which one of you would like to resemble me, that Allah makes his face like mine and he is arrested? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise me. I guarantee Jannah for the one who is willing to do this." One of the youngest men volunteered, but Isa alayhi salam told him to sit down. He thought he was too weak to be able to do it. So he asked again a second time, and then again a third time. And each time, only he was willing to do it. He's the one who volunteered. So Isa alayhi salam accepted. That young man's face started to look exactly like Isa alayhi salam after that. A hole opened in the roof, and Isa alayhi salam was raised towards the sky in a state of slumber. After this, the rest of the disciples came out of the house. The group of Jews waiting outside took hold of the disciple who looked exactly like Isa alayhi salam. They thought it was him, and they crucified him that night. Then they placed a crown made of thorns on his head, and they started celebrating, thinking they had killed Isa alayhi salam. But they became doubtful about it afterwards. Soon afterwards, they noticed that one man was missing from the group of disciples that Isa alayhi salam had with him. So they were confused. They couldn't figure out what happened to Isa alayhi salam if that man was that disciple, or what happened to that man if Isa alayhi salam had been crucified. They were left wondering about this. Another narration says that one of Isa alayhi salam's disciples betrayed him. He went to the group of Jews and informed them where Isa alayhi salam was hiding. He gave them that information just for a little bit of money. So the group of Jews surrounded the house. Then that man went inside, and that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him look exactly like Isa alayhi salam. The Jews took him instead of Isa al-Islam and crucified him. Afterwards, they looked for the man who had let them into the house, but they couldn't find him. So they wondered where he went if they had crucified Isa al-Islam. And if they had crucified him, where was Isa al-Islam? Because the face of the man who was crucified looked exactly like Isa al-Islam, but the body looked exactly like that of the man who had led them to Isa al-Islam, the one who had betrayed Isa al-Islam. So they were really confused. Ibn Abbas narrates that Isa al-Islam entered the house when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended to raise him to the sky. There were 12 disciples there at that time. There were drops of water falling from his hair. And this is how he will be when he is sent down again. His hair will be dripping with water then too. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear in this ayah that shubbiha lahum, it was made doubtful for them. وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا, and those who differ about it, لَفِي شَكِّمْ مِنْهُ, are only in doubt. The people who disputed with each other about it are in doubt concerning it. One group said that Isa al-Islam was killed. Some said he was crucified. And others said nothing happened to him. None of them was sure about what had actually happened. Neither the Jews nor the Christians. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ, they have no real knowledge. إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنَّ, except for following an assumption. They follow nothing but merely a conjecture. They made up things based on their guesses. They made up stories. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا, certainly they did not kill him. It is confirmed that they did not kill Isa alayhi salam. That's for sure. So what happened to Isa alayhi salam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. But رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ, rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him up towards himself. He raised him towards heaven. Some people don't believe this. Even some Muslims who don't believe the hadith deny this. They claim that رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ means that Allah made the dhikr of Isa alayhi salam, his name, honorable. Some say that he passed away and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised his soul towards the sky. But then there's nothing special about that. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mentioned it especially here? Because all souls ascend to the sky when they die. That's understood, that's for sure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially says that he was not killed or crucified. And he mentions that he was lifted up because he was raised up alive to the sky. He was raised alive with his body and soul. If we look at the different versions of the Bible, whenever Isa alayhi salam's raising up is mentioned, the word ascension is used. That is the exact meaning of the word rafa'a. And that is what the Quran says also. Now, some Muslims say that, oh, we can't say that he did ascend because this is what it says in the Bible. But this is the truth according to the Quran. So we have to say it's the truth, no matter who says it. We don't have to differentiate on things. We don't have to deny things just because they are there in the Bible. If it's right, it's right. So, the Christians believe that he was raised up. But they think that he was crucified first and then raised up and then he came back. This is why they celebrate Good Friday. But we believe that he was raised alive. He has not passed away yet. He will come back to this world and live up to the age that's been fixed for him. and he will pass away after that time. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty, all wise. These two attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are mentioned here prove that Rafa'a means that Allah raised Isa alayhi salam up with his body and soul. Because Aziz means the one that is almighty, he is all able. And Hakim means that he's always all wise. And only the one who has these qualities could make something like that happen. And he did raise Isa alayhi salam's body with his soul to the heaven. Alive. It wasn't difficult for him to do that. And there was a reason this happened, even though it normally doesn't. Allah willed for it to happen because he is all wise. If only Isa alayhi salam's soul had ascended to the sky, there was no need for Allah to mention that Allah is almighty, because that's what happens with everyone after they die. But with Isa alayhi salam, he is going to come back to the earth. This is according to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's hadith. In fact, there isn't just one hadith about it. There are different Bukhari and Muslim hadith about this. There are countless hadith about it in the Siha Sitta, the six authentic hadith books. There's no way they can be rejected because they are narrated through various chains, through different narrators. If anyone were to reject them, they're basically rejecting all these authentic hadith books. If anyone doesn't believe that Allah made Isa alayhi salam ascend to the sky alive, they are doubting that he is able to do all that. He is all able and all wise. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته